With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
USDA export inspections, that's a report that continues during the federal government shutdown, offers an early read on demand moving downriver into port. And this week showing firmer soybeans but softer corn, wheat, and sorghum versus the prior week, with year-to-date strength in corn and wheat offset by the lagging beans and sorghum. The flows can influence basis, barge demand, and spreads as harvest advances. So for the week ending October 9th, corn at 44.5 million bushels. That's down from 67 million bushels. And a year ago, twice as much, 20.2 million 1 year ago. Now for beans, it's half of what we saw last year at 36.5 million bushels. Last year was 70. For wheat, 16.3 million bushels. Last year, 14 million. Sorghum, 820,000 metric tons. And that was just a fraction of the 3.1 million bushels this time last year. Now, major lanes, including Gulf corn to Mexico, East Asia, Mississippi, East Gulf soybeans to Spain, Bangladesh, Italy, Germany, Netherlands, Pakistan, and Mexico, and Pacific Northwest wheat to Asia, with hard red winter moving via the Gulf. Marketing year to date, corn now is up 65% year over year, soybeans down 26%, wheat up 18%, and sorghum down 71%. The September National Federation of Independent Business, or NFIB, Small Business Optimism Index slipped to 98.8 after 3 months of gains, while the Uncertainty Index jumped to 100. It's one of the highest readings in decades. Now, for rural America, where farm supply dealers, repair shops, haulers, and service businesses anchor local economies, softer sentiment and higher uncertainty can translate into tighter margins, cautious hiring, and even more selective inventory buying as harvest cash flows move through towns. Price pressure remains a headwind, however. A net 24% of owners raise prices. 31% plan to do so in the next 3 months. 14% named inflation as their top problem. Supply chain effects touch 64% of firms. That was up 10 points. And inventory readings swinging sharply with a net negative 17%, calling stocks too low, largest monthly decline on record. Labor, though, staying tight. U.S. dairy leaders say the outlook is improving as new plants and upgrades come online nationwide. International Dairy Foods Association represents dairy producers and brands, and the National Milk Producers Federation's the policy voice for dairy farmers and co-ops. They point to about $11 billion in announced or in-progress projects. Those investments expand processing capacity and fund product innovation so U.S. dairy can capture more value at home and abroad. Leaders highlight core strengths, scale, efficiency, and sustainability efforts, while noting headwinds as well. And you're listening to Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
We stand with the president and what he stands for and the hope for the Argentinian people. And President Trump, just like you, he carries the young people. So it's hope for the future.
Scott Bessent is Treasury Secretary at a White House event with Argentinian President Milei.
The Argentines have made the decision to shake off 100 years of bad policy. They went from one of the richest countries in the world to a ton of debt. And I think that with the bridge the U.S. is giving them and the strong policies that Argentina can be great again.
But why is the White House investing $20 billion with Argentina?
We want to help Argentina, and we want to always help ourselves, but we want to help Argentina. And one of the ways we can do, they have great product. And we used to do a lot of trade, and then if you look at what the Democrats, well, they didn't know. They didn't know. Honestly, they didn't know what they were doing. But a lot of that trade disappeared, and they have great products. So we will be trading with Argentina, and it'll be helpful to them, and it's helpful. It's good for us also.
President Trump on the strength of leadership.
Just helping a great philosophy take over a great country. Argentina is one of the most beautiful countries that I've ever seen. And we want to see it succeed. It's very simple. I mean, we don't have to do it. It's not going to make a big difference for our country, but it will in terms of South America. If Argentina does well, you're going to have others following, and a lot of others are following. You have countries in South America that 2 years ago would have never even been thought of to go as democracies or as just countries that want to do fair and balanced trading. And now all, I mean, you mentioned Bolivia, but there are numerous other countries that are coming our way. And Brazil, as you know, I had a very good conversation with the president. I met him at the United Nations before I went up to speak, and then I found that he didn't have a speech because I had no teleprompter. They turned off my teleprompter purposely. They made it impossible for me. But it didn't silence me. I spoke without, and it was a good speech. I mean, it was a good speech. But no, think of that. You go into the United Nations, I'm speaking in front of 158 leaders and the whole world, and I look at my teleprompter, and it's dead. They killed my teleprompter. They wouldn't let the man that operated into the booth. Can you believe that?
But do you not have any specific interest in economic terms for the state?
I do have. No, I want to see it succeed. I think it's going to be great, and we will benefit also. But it's not that big a benefit because it's not that big a country, but it's a very important country, and it's a country that can be very successful. There are some countries that will never be successful. This is a country that has great potential if it has the right leadership, and you have the right leadership with this man right here.
And from the strength of leadership to the strength of the dollar.
I like the dollar. I'm very strong on the dollar. And anybody who wants to deal in dollars, they have an advantage over people that aren't. But for the most part, we're keeping it that way. I think if Biden would have, you know, Biden, that group would have gotten like a mini Kamala, you wouldn't have the dollar as your currency anymore. You wouldn't have a world domination by the dollar if I didn't win this election. And now the domination, like BRICS, I told anybody wants to be in BRICS, that's fine, but we're going to put tariffs on your nation. Everybody dropped out. They're all dropping out of BRICS. BRICS was an attack on the dollar. And I said, you want to play that game, I'm going to put tariffs on your all of your product coming into the U.S. They said, like I said, we're dropping out of BRICS. And BRICS is like, they don't even talk about it anymore. Scott, do you want to add to that, please?
We're very happy with the current currency arrangement.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
China played the rare earth minerals trump card on Thursday. However, the markets didn't figure that out until late morning on Friday when President Trump responded after a number of countries reached out to him regarding China's actions, almost in a panic regarding their implications.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
Friday turned into a risk-off day across a broad spectrum of markets after President Trump threatened massive tariffs, possibly 100%, on Chinese consumer goods coming to the United States in response to what China did on Thursday. The markets reacted on Friday instead of on Thursday because they only respond to those things that impact short-term financial gain or loss, whereas China's actions on Thursday presented an even greater longer-term threat, as I outlined at the time. Now, the issue goes back several decades. When China bought a U.S. company that processed these rare earth minerals and magnets, China had its own facilities that processed these products, doing so much cheaper thanks to cheap labor there and government subsidies. Its purchase of the U.S. facility was approved on the condition that it would continue to operate it here in the States for 5 years, which it basically did for 5 years and a day and then shut it down. Moving more processing to China. And it's been doing the same thing elsewhere as well over the last 20 years in particular until it now controls 90% of the processing of rare earth minerals and magnets, which with much of that migration coming, as I said, over the past two decades. Mining and processing of these products is expensive and it's environmentally dirty. So many countries were happy to allow China to do so. Now, most people don't really understand rare earth minerals and magnets, so this was never on their radar. But China knew what it was doing. It knew that these products would be essential for developing the electric and high-tech economy of the future, including everything from cell phones to plane engines to advanced military weapons. And it's that latter thing that is really part of it reaching its stated goal of what it has said of having the top military in the world along with the top economy. Now, I've been warning for the past 6 months that this day would come, but it came sooner than I anticipated that it would. Why now? Well, the move likely came due to steps that the Trump administration recently took that were reported last week. The Trump administration invested in at least five mining companies in Greenland in the United States. The administration during COVID used its warp speed policy to get vaccines on the market as quickly as possible, get them approved and get them on the market, overcome regulatory obstacles, etc. And it's using that same fast track authority, according to reports from sources in the White House, to move forward on these rare earth minerals and magnets to get them available to us as quickly as possible. Now, China's been building for this day for several decades. And I believe that it started to move when it saw the United States take this action to apply warp speed to try to gain access to its own supply of processed rare earth minerals and magnets. There is no longer a China versus, well, let me back up and say that when China played this card, which I've been warning is the trump card that they would eventually play, when they played it, it showed world leaders that this is no longer a China versus Trump battle. This is a China versus the world battle because it controls the rare earth minerals and magnets essential not only for their economies, for the productive capacity of their economies, but also for their ability to defend themselves. So that was a game changer worldwide.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
He's become very popular, and he's on the verge of a breakthrough, I think. I think he's really on the verge of tremendous economic success, and I know that Scott Bessent is helping.
President Donald Trump, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent at the White House on Tuesday at an event with Argentinian President Milei.
And our great Scott is doing a job, and he feels very strongly about it. And Scott, do you want to say just a couple of words about that, please?
Yes, sir. The president is fighting 100 years of bad economic history and policy, and is...
Both presidents. We're fighting bad. I thought he was talking about the U.S. president.
And there's a midterm election coming up. We think he's going to do quite well and then continue his reform agenda. Mr. President, as you said, President Obama had a big opportunity during his term, which he wasted. Many governments in Latin America went center-right, and the U.S. ignored them. We are not going to ignore our allies. It is economic strength. We're using our economic strength to create peace, just as you've done all over the world. And it is much better to form an economic bridge with our allies, people who want to do the right thing, than have to have shoot at narco gunboats. So we think that this is an opportunity for the Argentinian people, and that President Milei is the one to do it. He's got a great cabinet. He's got a great team who we've worked with over the past weeks.
And the election is coming up very soon, and it's a very big election being watched by the world, because he's done an incredible job. But with that comes some pain, and they have some pain, and now they're coming out of it. And I think the victory is very important. Your poll numbers, I hear, are pretty good, but I think they'll be better after this. And, you know, our approvals are somewhat subject to who wins the election, because if a socialist, or in the case of New York City, a communist wins, you feel a lot differently about making an investment. I think, Scott, you'd feel that if somebody that had no chance, in other words, if somebody wins and has no chance of ever having a great economy because of that philosophy, you would put a halt to what we're doing.
Yes, sir. And we're confident that President Milei is going to do well.
But a common question, especially in agriculture, asked by a reporter.
Go ahead.
How is this Argentina rescue package America First? And is this rescue package meant to help President Milei's party in the coming election?
No, it's helped. It's really meant to help a good financial philosophy where Argentina can, after 20 years of disaster, because it was very successful at one point, and it can be again, like Venezuela. Venezuela was very, very successful, and now it's a dictatorship. So we can help our neighbors. You know, we're making tremendous progress in South America. South America, Marco was telling me, he's like our great expert here. He really knows it. But you were telling me that so many of the countries are coming our way. And we had, a few years ago, when I just came back, so I've been here now almost 9 months, but when I just came in, I was amazed to see how poorly we've done. We lost so many, and one of them was Argentina, would be lost if he wasn't there. And I think he will be there, because the people recognize he's done an amazing job. He took over a real mess. So did I take over a mess. I took over a mess by, you know, the Biden group. And Obama was, he started it, I'll tell you. Barack Hussein Obama started it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Our latest customer survey lowered our yield to 185.9. I thought it would go lower. It did not. People I talked to indicate they still think yields may come up for the latter half of the harvest.
Arlen Suderman is with StoneX.
Our November survey may show that reduction, but this is what we're going to go with until it does. 185.9 bushels per acre, giving us a crop of 16.7 billion bushels. When you take the carryover, and that carryover got bigger by a couple hundred million bushels on September 30th with the quarterly stocks report. USDA created a problem for themselves by not raising the size of last year's crop. The previous quarterly stocks reports had indicated that USDA had a pretty good handle on the feed and residual usage of corn, but not wanting to raise the size of last year's, oh, they did raise it 25 million bushels, but they needed to raise it about 200 million bushels. But not wanting to do that, the only option, and we pretty much know what exports are. I have exports for old crop at 2.855 billion bushels, up 25 million from USDA. I have ethanol use for corn at 5.435 billion, which is USDA came to that number in September. I have feed supply, therefore, at 5.468 billion to make it come out to that 1.532 billion that USDA said we ended last year with. So do you then raise feed supply at 5.468 to 6.1 billion, which is what USDA has for new crop feed usage? That's over a 600 million bushel increase at a time when cattle numbers and hog numbers are both lower. Well, maybe USDA uses that kind of fuzzy math, but that doesn't make sense. So I went with, even with lower cattle numbers, with the Mexican border being closed, even with lower hog numbers, I went with 5.75 billion bushels, which is about a 300 million bushel increase in feed usage, because cheap corn does tend to get fed more. Even at that, and I have an extra 100 million bushels for exports, which is really stretching my logic right now, and I have fuel for ethanol at 5.6 billion. That's consistent with what USDA has, but we're not producing ethanol to that pace right now. So a closer number is probably just below 5.5 billion. But for now, I've left it at 5.6. That still takes ending stocks at 2.484 billion. Now, if USDA were to have a crop report today, they are not going to drop it down to 2.484 billion. They're simply not going to do it. They're going to try to solve for 2.1 billion, even if they have to keep that feed usage number elevated. So I don't expect USDA to come out with a number like this. And of course they won't today if there's, since there's no report, but even in November, they're not going to. They're going to hesitate as long as possible, hoping that they can draw that yield number down enough to do it. So how much does it have to come down? Well, I've got two more yield alternatives with the same demand numbers in here, a 183 yield and a 179 yield. So let's look at the 179 yield. If we drop it with those same demand numbers, we then drop ending stocks to 1.865 billion bushels, which is 11.8% stocks to use ratio, justifying a marketing year average cash price of $4.05 a bushel. So that's up better than 50 cents from my current projection of where we're at. So it's a better position overall, but that's assuming that the yield would actually fall that far. And that's a big unknown yet at this point.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Demet, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Our topic this week is increased carcass weights, increased quality grades, and increased consumer demand.
Dr. Mark Johnson is an Oklahoma State beef breeding specialist.
I read this week that we expect the average steer carcass weight to go up about 20 pounds from where it is right now by the end of the year, so that in December we're probably looking at steer carcass weights of around 980 pounds. If we look at heifers, they're probably going to be close to 900. Now, these are record high, and you ask yourself, how did we get here and how did this happen? Well, in short, kind of a blip on the screen going back to COVID, when we had some interruption in the supply, we ended up feeding some cattle longer than what we normally would, taking them to a lot heavier weights than what we normally would. And interestingly enough, over the last 4 to 5 years, this has kind of became the new normal. Now, there's a lot of market signals that indicate this is going to be the new normal. And one of the more interesting ones is as we look at the consequence of increased carcass weights, days on feed, and what it does to our weekly harvest mix as far as a percentage of cattle that have quality grade select or those higher, more premium quality grades of choice and prime. And we go back in time a little bit and think about 2005, when we only saw about 1% to 2% of the weekly harvest mix actually reach the quality grade of prime. There was a dramatically lower percentage of cattle that were grading choice and a much higher percentage of cattle actually grading select if we go back 20 years ago. Where does that stack up currently? Well, we currently only see about 13% of the weekly harvest mix grading select. Over 80% are grading choice and prime. Of that, a big chunk of them, over 36%, are reaching the upper two-thirds of choice, and 10 to 12% of our harvest mix is actually grading prime, previously thought to be virtually impossible. Why are we doing this? Well, consumer demand is for a consistently great-tasting, high-quality beef product. In fact, 20 years ago, we would have talked about the choice select spread being the primary determinant of the value of a beef carcass. Today, that is the prime choice spread actually being the primary determinant of the value of a beef carcass. And so what we're doing and why we're doing it, from a positive note to our industry, is largely influenced by trying to meet the demand of consumers for our product. It's interesting when we think about beef quality grades. The variation in it we see is a result of cattle's genetic potential to marble and the environment that they're raised in and actually fed to finish in. Part of this equation is a huge success story, and it indicates that cattle breeders over the last 20 or 30 years have dramatically increased the additive genetic potential of cattle to grow marbling, the primary determinant of quality grade. But that environmental influence that comes into play is the increased days on feed, resulting in heavier carcass weights and resulting in a much higher percentage of our weekly harvest mix in those premium quality grades, the upper two-thirds of choice and prime.
Well, we move from carcass weights to differences in low and high earners. Dave Lallman, Oklahoma State beef cattle specialist.
There's tremendous variability from one ranch to another in terms of their of how much money they're able to make. And a lot of that variation is actually under the producer's control. Mm. And so I thought it might be useful to go through some, you know, kind of dig into that and break it down a little bit. And just so people would know what keys are that might really have an opportunity that under their control where they might be able to make some progress in that profitability.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.